Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
A very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional across the daily country of ours. Welcome back to National Talk Black. Have your say, yarn up strong, you mob. Going to jump straight in and talk to the beautiful ladies from Marawa Law. We have Michaela and Alex who come to join us here in the studios. And the topic today, Telstra faces $50 million fines for exploiting Indigenous customers. Ladies, very good morning. How are you both?
Good morning. I'm well, thanks.
Really good, thank you.
Fantastic. Michaela, start with you. Who are your mob? Where are you from?
So my name's Michaela. I'm a proud Torres Strait Islander woman with family connections to Mobiog Island.
Okay, fantastic. Alex, who are your mob?
And I'm Alexandra Hohoi, and I've got family ties to Murray Island. Very proud Torres Strait Islander woman.
Yes, proud. Fantastic. Thank you guys for coming to the table. Look, a very important conversation here. Telstra faces $50 million fines for exploiting Indigenous customers. To me, it was probably a drop in the ocean for Telstra, but tell us what they did and how they were fined. Start with, the introduction into that situation. Alex, start with you, sister.
So Telstra has admitted that it breached consumer law after they unethically sold mobile phone plans to over 108 Indigenous customers who could not afford them and didn't understand the mobile phone contracts they were on.
So how did this happen?
Telstra is the main service provider in remote communities, the Indigenous customers were going into those stores to get a new phone and were signing contracts for high premium phone plans, which they did not understand and were unable to afford. So as we all know, many of the Indigenous customers spoke English as a second or third language out there. They had difficulties understanding Telstra's written contracts, were unemployed and relied on government benefits or pensions as their primary source of income. So what essentially the Telstra staff members were doing was they weren't providing a full and proper explanation of the mobile phone contract and were falsely telling Indigenous customers that the products they would receive were for free or including products such as overseas data allowances that they would not need.
So what was the consequence of these mobile phone contracts? Back to you, Alex.
So the mob and the Indigenous customers purchasing the phones were thinking that they were getting a cheap plan or even a free plan, only later to be billed with $2,000 fines or more, exceeding their data allowance or phone usage.
And so with that, the Indigenous customers had an average debt, yeah, of how much?
They had an average debt of $7,500 each, with one customer having almost $19,000 in debt. They were experiencing severe personal financial hardship and also the distress of not understanding contracts and dealing with debt collectors regularly.
So what rights did our mob as customers have?
So under the Australian Consumer Law, all customers have certain rights when they buy any product or service, which also includes a mobile phone service. So these include your rights to repair, replace or get a refund, as well as compensation for any damages or losses. So the Indigenous customers made a complaint to the ACCC, the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission, about the problems they were experiencing with Telstra and the service that they were providing to them. And once the ACCC became aware of what was happening to the customers in the remote communities, the ACCC launched an 18-month investigation into Telstra's conduct.
So what did the ACCC investigation find out?
So the ACCC investigation looked into the Telstra mobile phone plans that were entered into with the Indigenous customers between January 2016 to August 2018. The ACCC found that Telstra acted unconscionably when it signed up 108 Indigenous customers to the phone plans, which they could not afford or understand the contract. It was also found that the Telstra staff were signing up the customers on the same day they visited the store. The staff were also falsely indicating that the customers were employed so that they could pass the credit assessment and enter into the mobile phone contract, knowing well that they were receiving government benefits. They were also taking advantage of Indigenous customers' social language, literacy and cultural vulnerabilities in order to make a quick sale. So overall, the investigation is a reminder to all businesses to make sure that they are complying with the Australian Consumer Law when dealing with customers, especially vulnerable customers in regional or remote communities.
Exactly. So what happens now?
Yeah, so since the outcome of the ACCC investigation, Telstra has taken steps to waive the debts and refund the money paid by the 108 Indigenous customers. Telstra has also agreed to pay a penalty of $50 million, and that decision will be made by the federal court at a later date.
So when you say they've made the decision or agreed to pay $50 million, but the decision is made by the federal court, so it's not confirmed that there's $50 million.
It hasn't been confirmed at this point. The judge will have to make the final decision at the end of the day.
Yeah, okay. So where can I go if I am experiencing issues with mobile phone service provider, for example?
So if you are experiencing problems with your mobile service provider or struggling to pay a bill on time due to financial difficulties, first place you should go is your mobile service provider.
Mm-hmm.
But if you cannot resolve your problem or you feel like you might have been in a similar situation, you can make a complaint to the ACCC. Their number is 1300 302 502, or you can make an inquiry at www.accc.gov.au.
All right, fantastic. So it just goes to show, ladies, that no matter how big you are as a company, you still got to abide by the rules and respect your customers.
Yep, that's right.
Because we're all customers and have got rights.
That's it, especially under the Australian Consumer Law.
Yes, so we're all protected. So, look, a slap on the wrist here for Telstra.
Huge slap.
they deserve it. they deserve it, but probably pittance to how much money we're talking here, to how much money they make. But, look, there it is. You need to abide by the rules and respect the customers and abide by the rules of ACCC. Because someone's watching you and they need to be policed, the big companies, yep?
Yes, absolutely.
Right, fantastic. Ladies, thank you very much for coming in. Who is Murrow Law?
So Murrow Law is the nation's leading independent Indigenous legal firm that specialises in commercial and Indigenous land law. If you'd like to contact us, please do call us on 07404130888.
All right, to Delhi. Thank you very much, ladies. All the best to you and your beautiful team. Big shout out to the girls there. Big shout out to Leah Cameron, the director and the principal of the firm. And look, represent, leading from the front, girls.
Thank you. Girls can do anything. Thank you so much.
To Delhi, girls. Bye bye. A beautiful yarn there with the girls from Murrow Law. That's Alex and Michaela. And look, a very juicy conversation there regarding Telstra, who faces $50 million fines for exploiting Indigenous customers. And there was about 108 Indigenous customers who could not afford to pay back the phone bills in regard to the phone contracts. But they did exploit, and look, they are going through the courts, and it's not looking pretty for Telstra, but there's ACCC at the table as well, supporting our people. But to all customers, look before you leap and do your homework. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black, that deadly number 1-800-422-416. Too deadly. Yeah, I heard it through the grapevine, the Murray grapevine here on National Talk Black. That's Deadly Sister Jessica Mowboy. Big shout out, my sister. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your saying, yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. You can text the brother, 045-714-0550, and our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. Yarn with the ball, you're on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, your host for your daily program. It is your vehicle. I'm just steering it in the right direction. Give us a call and have your say, 1-800-422-416. All right, too deadly. We have three Aboriginal women that have been endorsed by the Western Australian state election coming up. We have Sherry Sebasato, that's Northwest Central, Divina Nation, Danana, Kimberley, Michelle Nelson, Central Wheatbell, and if they're sexual in electoral region, it puts Aboriginal presence in a positive position, leading a pathway for our people and community. We're going to catch up with one of the candidates. That's Michelle Nelson on the line. Sister Michelle, very good morning. How are you?
I'm good, my brother. How are you?
I'm well. Congratulations. Throwing your hat in the ring there.
How fantastic news, isn't it?
It is.
It'll be part of a history.
Too deadly. Sister, before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
So I'm probably related to 99.99% of the Noongar community in the southwest of West Australia.
Yes.
But a very proud Nadji Nadji Baladong Nalakala Budja Bimbaman crew or clan, and also to the Wadjuk people here in Lovely. The metropolitan region. So I'm a very proud, strong Noongar woman.
All right, fantastic. Congratulations on your appointment there. Well, putting your hat in the ring, a candidate for the up-and-coming Western Australian state election. So how did it come about for you? Have you always had that a passion to do so?
Look, I was one of my greatest ambassadors was when I worked with the late Honourable Ernie Bridge, who was in Parliament, the first ever appointed Aboriginal person appointed in the under the Crown in Parliament. So I haven't worked with him for a number of years, but having served in Aboriginal politics for over 30 years in Aboriginal health and a diversity of positions, professional positions over the years, particularly in native title, health, social justice, and community services. And I was approached by the WA Labor Party, who was looking for a candidate that had strong connections to the Wheatbelt area. I'm passionate about my homeland in the Wheatbelt region, having been born in Killaburn and spent my early childhood days in Merldon, and my family living on the Merldon Reserve at the time. So I was passionate about saying yes. I thought very long and hard about it, and obviously the commitment you need and the passion you need to position yourself in such a unique role. But it's also about having a voice on the inside, looking out and educating our wider community about the difficulties and the complexities of Aboriginal people. But I want to represent all communities, you know, that's black and white, and that's what my intention is in goodwill.
Look, fantastic. And like you said, we have three Aboriginal women, Sherry Sebasato, and also Divination. Diana, is that her name?
Divina Diana. Divina. Kimberley girl.
Yes. And so it's great to see. So you know those two other sisters?
I do know those two other sisters. Cherie's late mother was a former ATSIC commissioner.
Okay.
And Davina's family history is the Cox family, which is spread throughout the whole of the Kimberley region. So very large family groups. So we actually, the whole three ladies that are running in this year's election represents a vast majority of family and community in our state.
Yes. And look, we need, like I said, voices in Parliament. This is one way of doing it. Becoming a candidate and hopefully win, and then you have a voice there. And like we have a couple over this side here in the East Coast, and good to see it happen in the West Coast. That is the vision, anyway, isn't it?
Absolutely, it's about creating the pathways also for our younger generation to seriously consider entering into politics, because it's it's influencing change.
Exactly.
And if we want to influence change, we've got to be part of the system from the inside.
Yes.
That we can educate, you know, those who are decision-making regarding some of the systems and policies that are going to impact on our communities. In Central Wheatbelt, of course, it's an agriculture region.
Yep.
Our farmers are doing it tough out there. And, you know, it's also supporting them, given that, you know, our grain is one of our assets in the Central Wheatbelt, but yep. also creating job opportunities for our communities to empower and put back into economic development into our small towns.
Yes.
And building better, you know, better community development in those regions as well.
Well, exactly. And look, it's about the journey ahead and campaign trail now and putting yourself out there. And they say it's all about promoting and marketing, getting out there, meet and greet the people. And you need to do what you need to do. But look, you sound like you've got the passion there, the drive there, and it's about enjoying the journey. And good luck with it all, my sister.
Yeah, look, the roadmap's been it's extensive. It's,
yep.
I've got one of the largest regions, but my intention is to get out there and make a physical appearance rather than doing, you know, a phone call. I want to get out
media.
There and mingle with my mob and,
yes.
and mingle with my community. So I did. I've now done a fair few trips up to. Some of the main line of the Great Eastern Highway of the Central Wheatbelt, but mm-hmm. I've now got to go down a bit more south, which I intend to do in the next week. So it's just letting people know that the Central Wheatbelt does exist and they need resources and they need assistance to get essential services up and running. But particularly just to let you know the community know that I'm running in their electorate. Mm. You know, now's the time for our younger generation mob who never thought about enrolling to vote.
Mm.
It's, the time is now for you
yes.
to enroll to vote to influence change.
And how important their vote is.
Absolutely, absolutely. And importantly, you know, be part of history because if we get the three, you know, Aboriginal women in the state parliament, you know, we're empowering our voice.
Yes.
That's what we're doing, and we want to be role models. And what we're setting now is the precedence that you're never too young or you're never too old to enter into this arena.
Mm, exactly, and that your voice can be heard, and your voice could be a powerful voice as well in that arena. Yes,
that's right. That's right. And I'm working with a fantastic crew.
Yep.
I've got a lot of support out there in the community.
Team Michelle, good team there, Michelle? Team Michelle?
Good, great team, yep.
Excellent.
Yep, great team, yep, Team Michelle. Fantastic premier that's protected our state, importantly. And I know that through this COVID, you know, pandemic, he's done a phenomenal job in keeping our state safe, and I know he's had to make some hard call
yes.
Decisions, but at the end of the day, it's keeping our not only our state safe, but keeping the rest of the country safe as well.
Exactly.
And we'll recover. We will recover.
Yes, we will.
It takes time, obviously, but you know, we're looking forward to being re-elected and put back into power of government in this year's election for the next term.
We're going to keep a close eye on you, my sister, with the other two sisters as well. Please do
Thank
keep
you.
In touch and enjoy that journey. That's what it's all about. And look, be the best you that you can be. And I know you'll do that, Michelle.
Cheers, brother boy.
All right,
you
sister.
Take it easy over there and good luck to everybody over there as well.
Lovely. Thank you very much, sister. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
A beautiful yarn there with one of the candidates for the up-and-coming election in Western Australia, state election, and that's Michelle Nelson. And congratulations. Also Davina Diana, who's operating or running for the Kimberley seat, and also Northwest Central, Sherry Sibisato. So, look, fantastic if they're successful, but they're successful by just running out in an arena and getting out about communicating with their mob and the people in the community. That's what it's all about. Have you say, Yarn Up Strong, add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. That daily number is 1-800-422-416.
G'day folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial. Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it. Strap on.
Northern Peninsula area. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's the Bama Kids. Love an NPA. What you doing?
About 6 in the morning, hopped in the dinghy, me and Bella about tea with 500 pity. Heading to the shooting swamp for some piggy, with the cruise east coast, got gun dogs, machetes. 1, 2, load up the bullet. 3, 4, cock it and pull it. 5, 6, popped him in the air, it's gone 7, 8, 9, now the broom is dead.
Hands up, what the press go use? That's a one bun small, suss it out, what the cruise? Yeah, you know how we roll, it's the Bamaga Kids. Where the ballers, where the stacks, red dust, native.
Life's fun up here in the NPA.
Yeah.
There's not much to do, but it's deadly anyway. Chillin' with our titters and having a yarn. Tear it up at the disco and dog him hard one.
She likes the gazebo, listening for the music. We probably bumping our head because we not alive. Turning up the radio, you feeling it?
Yeah.
Bala press, mata me patitas, I be play tight.
Hands up, mata press, go youth. That's a one run small, suss it out, mata cruise. Yeah, you know how we roll, it's the Bama the Kids. Where the titters, what it fast, red dust, natives.
Walking down the main street with the danger beat. And we're looking so gorgeous, are you feeling the heat? Pop, pop, like and drop it, I'ma roll it around. And then we're showing on down all the way to the ground.
Bala Trey Vecchia in the NPA. We're representing all the people from around this place. Mix flow all ballas, make it brand new. Sing no blast them over mark, but my telling a ring.
Hands up, mata press go you. That's a one bun small, suss it out, mata cruise. Yeah, you know how we roll, it's the Bamaga Kids. Where the ballas, where the stacks, red dust, native.
Hands up, mata press go you. That's a one bun small, suss it out, mata cruise. Yeah, you know how we roll, it's the Bamaga Kids. Where the shit is, what it stacks, red dust, natives.
Shines on us, 'cause we are the original.
Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on our National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I
remember the day. A very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns as BBM Bumbleberry Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your say, call on us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, now, older Indigenous Australians avoid mainstream health and aged care services, Neuro study finds. Neuro is Neuroscience Research Australia, the acronym Neuro, a comment in the medical specialist office still upsets 74-year-old Annie Kerry Burnett, which is her story. And thank Annie Kerry for sharing the story. Her story is when she tried to explain, in actual fact, she's a Neuro nation, and said she was asked loudly by a receptionist for a payment of more than $300 for the consultation. And when she tried to explain that she should be bulk billed for the visit, Annie Kerry said, the woman said, "Don't tell me you're Aboriginal." And Annie Kerry describes the moment as feeling as though she was sinking into the floor, and she walked away ashamed, and "I didn't go back to the kidney specialist after that." So there is a problem. There is a gap widening regarding communication and looking after our elders or our people. We're going to catch up a yarn over Dr. Kylie Radford, Senior Research Scientist and Group Leader at the Neuroscience Research Australia. On the line, Dr. Kylie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. I'm well, thank you, and thank you for inviting me on the program today.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. That story there by Annie Kerry, very, very sad, but very common. We as, I as a black man and we as First Nation people are well aware of the communication or the lack of communication or the disrespect at mainstream healthcare, aged care and services. It's daunting, but it's real, and it's great to be talking about it and great to fix the problem. But you got a big mountain to climb, I would say, Dr. Kylie.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. So, unfortunately, as you say, Annie Carey's story is far too common, and it's affecting a lot of older people in particular, and turning them away from services that they do need to access and want to access otherwise but don't feel safe and able to do so. And I think our research has shown that over two-thirds of older Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people have an exclusive preference for using health and medical services that are in their community and provided by their community. And in many cases, as you say, they're actually avoiding accessing mainstream services for many reasons.
And when you look at it, look, it's fantastic that we have First Nation health organisations out there, and our mob go to get their medical check and what have you. But if they have to go further in regard to seeing specialists, we don't have a lot of First Nation specialists out there at that high level. So they have to go to a mainstream specialist as such, and of course non-Indigenous. And there lies the so-called armour, red tape, brick wall, or racism, or a naivety in regard to how to deal with First Nation people, yes?
Yeah, it's a huge challenge, isn't it? I mean, Aboriginal community-controlled health services are providing fantastic care, but there are limits, as you say. Like, there is a need for these specialist services, which you can't access necessarily through primary care. One of the solutions that we've been working on in New South Wales with some of the communities that we partner with is to provide more outreach services to community-controlled health organisations. So in the context of aged care in particular, we work closely with some geriatricians who travel to different community-controlled health services and run outreach clinics in those services. And they work closely with the local staff, with the local Aboriginal health workers and teams, so they're building their skills and knowledge around aged care and the different health conditions that come with older age, including things like dementia. But also older people in those communities feel really safe and comfortable accessing those services. You know, it's on their land, they can walk in there, heads held high, is some of the words that that people use when they describe that experience. So it's really opened up access to those essential specialist services that people do need more frequently as they get older.
Dr. Collie, a case of taking the mountain to the people.
That's exactly right. And why shouldn't we do that? I mean, we, health services are there to provide for the communities that are accessing them. So I think that in many cases, there are lots of ways that health services can adapt their approach to better meet the needs of communities rather than the other way around.
Mm. And I suppose if I'm not taking the mountain to the people, if the people do have to go to the mountain, then I believe a fantastic opportunity for Aboriginal community control organisations to have a medical person, staff person, travelling with the elderly to have that engagement. I mean, that's the other way. If they really do have to go to the specialist into the city or away from their homeland or the country.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's another fantastic idea. And I think that there are a number of health services that are able to do that and provide that support. I know there are particular sort of aged care services as well who are community controlled, and they offer transport and support to take people up to the hospital, you know, for their dialysis appointments and things like that. So all the way in that sort of journey, I guess, through accessing services, people feel really safe and supported. And there are different, yeah, as you say, there are many different ways we can look at improving that situation and developing new solutions.
The other thing that comes to mind, I think, in working from the top down, is cultural awareness with our professionals, even while they're studying. So when they do step out into the field, whether starting their own business or their practice or working at a hospital, well, a hospital should know all about cultural awareness, you know, things like that. Then the specialist should understand that if they're dealing with our people, there's got to be some smooth transition and communication platform, so to speak.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think you're right. It has to come at all levels, be really strong leadership and support from the top to see that happen. But as you saw from Aunty Carey's experience, you know, every interaction matters. So even, you know, the receptionist, the staff at the front desk, everybody needs to have that really strong cultural awareness and understanding and to be able to provide that sort of respectful care throughout.
Well, we're talking about a receptionist. I mean, there was a statement from the young woman at the counter who said, "Aunty Carey, well, don't tell me you're Aboriginal," yeah, in a derogatory way. I mean, that in itself would scare Aunty Carey and all our aunties and uncles out there. I'm not coming back here, you know what I mean? So rather go into a community and die, you could say, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And I think that, you know, a lot of people in the work that we do, who participate in our research, tell us, you know, they've experienced a lot of racism and a lot of discrimination throughout their lives. And, you know, while things are changing and they're improving and they might be, you know, feeling like they can access more and more services, which is a great thing, there's still this element of discrimination and racism that persists across healthcare, and we really need to be conscious of it and call it out, and doing more work, particularly for non-Indigenous Australians like me, doing more work to prevent that happening and prevent people from having those experiences.
Well, exactly. We are talking about a national goal here, closing the gap, and that's all facets. And health is life expectancy is one of them. So, look, I'm so glad that you're at the table. It's great to be talking about this. It's so very important. And with Neuroscience Research Australia at the table of the conversation, look, it can also go to government, of course, our ministers, and enlighten them about what's happening out there with our people, and stamp out racism as well. What I'm saying.
Well, with every opportunity, Trevor, we take to communicate the research that we're doing, to share the findings, and to really help advocate for better health services, particularly for older Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people.
Well, thank you very much to Sharon, Dr. Kylie. Great conversation, very important conversation. All the best to your team, your family. Stay safe, and we'll yarn soon.
Many thanks, Trevor.
Bye, bye, Doctor.
Bye.
Deli yarn there, very important yarn, very sad yarn when you look at Aunty Carey's story there. But that's Dr. Kylie Radford, Senior Research Scientist and Group Leader at the Neuroscience Research Australia, acronym NEURA, and talking about how our elders and or our people are being treated at mainstream health services, aged care services, and all the above. And racism raises ugly heads in many ways, and that deters our people from going to see the specialists. And so we are talking about and closing a gap in regard to life expectancy. Well, treatment like this, it just virtually, it devastates the communication and the health situation of our people. So very, very important. Have you say, Jan Armstrong, add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. That deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Call the number, Jan, with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. And we come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. So give the Murray a call. Let's have a yarn, your mob, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black, Monday to Friday, 11 to 12 on BBM 98.7 FM.
This morning, about 3:15. The day ahead has gets me excited, I can't wait. Try to close my eyes, I couldn't sleep. Stomach has butterflies, I can't even eat. Now you wanna leave me, now I'm a number one. When I look to the skies, I think of you in that proper blue moonlight. I'm thinking that I'm needing to say these two, three words. Now you wanna leave me, now I'm a no go on. Mene wananja, mene ngaiwa ngilenge mena manungu. Oh, yo, maraba, mene wananja, mene ngaiwa ngilenge mena manungu. Waiwa ngilenge mena manungu.
Too deadly. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumba Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation. Thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. 10 more minutes left on the program. Give us a call. Have your say, 1-800-422-416. You can always text the brother if you're on the shy side, 045-714-0550. And our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM, for your keyboard warriors. News that came out yesterday was Cairns childcare worker Dion Batris Drills has manslaughter charge dropped over death of toddler left on minibus. A former childcare worker has had charge of manslaughter dropped over the death of a toddler who was allegedly left behind on a minibus after court found she did not have the duty of care to the child. Dion Batris Drills, 34, was one of two people charged with the manslaughter over the death of Malik Nicholas Floyd, Namak Malamu, 3 years old, who was found dead on a Good Start Easy Learning Centre minibus in February last year. In the Cairns Magistrate Court on Wednesday, Magistrate Kevin Priestley discharged Ms. Gills, determining she had no case to answer. Police had alleged Ms. Drills and her co-accused, Michael Glenn Lewis, 45, left the toddler on the minibus after collecting him from his home at Edmonton, south of Cairns. It is alleged the boy was left on the bus for around 6 hours on a day when temperatures exceeded 30 degrees Celsius. Delivering his judgment, Magistrate Priestley said, given the sequence of events, a jury could not arrive at a guilty verdict. There's very real possibility, if not probably, that Ms. Rules exited the bus, leaving the obvious task of transporting Malik to Mr. Lewis while she went on her new duties, he told the court. There's no evidential basis on which the prosecution might rely to exclude the possibility. Finally, the statements which have attributed to Mr. Lewis and Ms. Rules upon first hearing about what happened are entirely consistent with the scenario and the sequence of events. I thereby conclude that the evidence is not capable of supporting a jury verdict of guilty, and I discharge the defendant. Mr. Lewis was last year committed to stand trial in the Supreme Court at a date to be set. I will carry the heartache of Malik's death for life. Ms. Rules fought back tears as she addressed the media outside court on Wednesday. I am relieved to be cleared of any criminal responsibility for Malik's death, but I will always carry the heartache of Malik's death for life, she says. I extend my deepest condolences to Malik's family for their loss. A three-day committal hearing for Ms. Rules was held at the Cairns Magistrate Court early this month to determine whether there was enough evidence to commit her to stand trial. Her defence barrister, Tony Kimmins, argued Ms. Rules had no case to answer as she was not driving the minibus that picked the boy up and therefore had no legal duty of care. Good Start policy at the time stated that it was the driver's responsibility to check the bus, including behind and under all seats, before locking and leaving the vehicle when it had been used to transport children, he told the court earlier this month. Further, it is the driver's responsibility to engage the second educator to check the bus where possible. The driver's responsibility checklist answers the case with due respect. Police prosecutor Megan Howe told the hearing Ms. Grills employment as a childcare centre worker and her presence on the bus as it picked the toddler up meant she had a duty of care to protect the boy from danger that was on the bus. In my submission is enough that she is capable of being committed. Ms. Howard told the court she is culpable and she owed a duty of care. She held that duty and she failed. So there it is. The charges have been dropped and very sad to the family here in Cairns, the loss of the little brother with us in spirit. We've had statements with First Nation families and what have you. Statements like if that was a dog they left in the bus, our CPA would be fighting for jail time. But there it is, and very sad, sad for all involved. And that's where it sits at the moment. And a lot of our mob activists are very upset with the situation, as most people would be. Have your say, Jan Upstrong, add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. 5 minutes left on the program, BBM 98.7 FM. That daily number, 1-800-422-416.
Hey, what you doing, your mob? It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Macaran.
Oh yeah, Mary G, Little Man in the Boat, here on your daily program, National Talk Black. It's come to the time where Murray got to sign off you, Mob. I thank you very much for your company. We're back in the hot seat again next week. We've got Survival Day coming up, so give us a call and let us know what you're doing regarding Survival Day, how you celebrate it or not celebrate it. Either way, all ears here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Big shout out to First Nation radio stations around the country, Daily Black Network, and a voice for our people. So, Murray, going to sign off. I thank you very much for your company. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe. We are still in a pandemic. Abide by the rules. Do not be laxy-daisy. Anytime you can, 1.5 metres away from each other, constantly wash your hands and wear a mask if you need to, if you got to, if you're out and about with people. Otherwise, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. Yarn soon, you mob. Too deadly.